This is Pure Decking for Thursday, October the 20th, 2016. This is show number 241 about the stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and trying to find news stories that are not related to the damned election. I'm Morps. Tonight, I am slumming it with some Michelob Amberbach. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Sam Adams Toasted Caramel Bach.
Nice. Static, what do you got?
I have some Bacardi Black, washing it down with Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Nice. BSV, what are you drinking?
Sadly, just water.
Well, depending on where you live, that may be worse than the alcohol. And are you, what do you got?
I'm not drinking anything, but link related to what we were talking about just previous before, Madman. Go collect your neat bucks today.
Wow. That's awesome. Leave it to Europe to come up with that shit.
Beautiful, oh, no. This was written by the U.S. if he's bringing it from that diagnostics manual.
That's even better. I just wonder if somebody was, like, bored and was like, hey, want to see what I can get the nurses to do?
Well, the answer is yes.
People in IRC are wondering what we're talking about. Might as well link it in there. If anyone's in there.
Yeah, I'll throw it in there.
That way they can get their neat bucks too.
Well, we're sitting here doing internet radio, so, you know. Okay, so discussion story I have for tonight is from CSOonline.com.
Sorry. What's up? Sorry. I just figured out, even though I'm married, I would still qualify for this disability.
Damn it! So, this is from CSO Online. The U.S. Department of Justice has requested the fingerprints of all residents in a search warrant. U.S. investigators are exercising a broad legal authority to force suspects to unlock their smartphones. In a recent case, they demanded that anyone found inside a California residence comply with surrendering their fingerprints. In May, the federal prosecutors made the request as part of a search warrant, according to a court filing uncovered by Forbes. Those fingerprints were crucial to unlocking the smartphones, the Department of Justice argued. However, the federal investigators went beyond asking for the fingerprints of one subject and said they sought the authority to depress the fingerprints of everyone located at the California property. Legal experts say the request is probably unprecedented, according to Forbes. It comes as law enforcement agencies have been trying to find ways to bypass security on smartphones as part of their criminal investigations. So the FBI did their legal battle. U.S. courts have given police legal authority to access smartphones that can be unlocked by a fingerprint by compelling the owner to assist. Because it's a physical thing. It's not demanding that you to admit you know the password. Despite the Fifth Amendment, which gives people the right to avoid self-incrimination, a court in Virginia ruled in 2014 that compelling subjects to hand over biometric data, including fingerprints, is legal. However, divulging secret passwords such as pins is not. Yeah, so now they're just going to flat out say, we're going to raid the house, we're going to fingerprint everybody and collect all the phones.
Wow.
If they have the warrant for the house, they already have the rights to enter the house and search for everything in the house. Well, pretty much everything that's described on the warrant.
You know, how long before the police just, you know, cut off your finger? You know, you're arrested, they're cutting off your finger and taking your electronics.
So is it just scanning it or actually literally taking your fingerprint and putting it on file?
Well, if you're fingerprinted by the police for any reason, it goes on file.
Well,
yeah, you're in the biometrics data forever.
I was wondering if it was just the whole checking the phone with the print, or if they're actually you pulling out the ink and fingerprinting you that way.
No, they're probably doing a digital scan.
They haven't fingerprinted in years, man. Everything's biometrics now.
I haven't been through the process. Sorry.
But, the only reason I'm familiar with it is crossing international borders. Iris scans and left and right palm.
Yep. And the thing to keep in mind is that since they're doing a digital scan, and it's still some work if they're not just going to, you know, touch your finger to the phone. I imagine that's what first do is just ask you to unlock the phone. But, I mean, it's interesting. Go ahead, Ari.
I'm fucked, man. Like, we've had this conversation before. So, where's your phone? I don't have one. Like, what cop's going to believe me?
No, they're going to say, we found this phone. We think it's yours. I don't have a phone. Bullshit. Yeah. This is your phone. You know, they grab your finger and start jabbing it to the phone. Of course, it doesn't unlock it. What'd you do to this phone? Did you not put your fingerprint in this phone? We want the pin to this. It's not my phone.
Yeah, you're being held in contempt, you know, or something like that. It's ludicrous, man.
Well, so. The warrant, is it for, like, an apartment or an apartment building?
They said a residence, so I assume it was a house.
Okay, it's still a single house. If the phones are covered under the warrant, I'm not really seeing much of an issue.
I mean, it's like, if Bill's a drug dealer and we live in a share house with five other people, why is my life getting ruined because Bill's a dumbass?
There's actually some protections in the United States for roommates. So let's say you and I were roommates. Mm-hmm. A warrant would cover the common area. A warrant for you would cover the common areas. So the living room, kitchen, if it's a single bathroom, the bathroom.
No, they did the whole house, dude. They didn't.
It might be a family. Like I said, this is just roommates.
I'd like to see this tested.
So on a family residence, yeah, there isn't any getting away with it. You have access to the entire house and anything that the warrant would reasonably cover. So if it's like a warrant, we're looking for whatever documents, any place you could have a document is covered under the warrant.
It was probably a pretty broad warrant if they were fingerprinting everybody in the residence.
Yeah. If you're looking at it, documents... Smartphones hold documents. It doesn't have to be that broad.
But what I'm saying is that they specifically argued in the warrant they needed the fingerprints of everyone to unlock phones.
Okay, now I kind of wonder what makes them think each individual phone would be involved in this. Because I could see a specific person's phone, but to think the entire family was involved in the same criminal conspiracy... Like, Al Capone's wives weren't involved. Okay, they carried guns sometimes.
I'm just telling you what the warrant was, dude.
Oh, no, I'm just pointing that out on the issue I might have with the warrant.
So, it's interesting, I mean, that they're flat out at this point saying, yeah, we're going to collect your fingerprints so we can unlock your phone. So, if you're being arrested, just chuck your phone in the microwave. I mean, it's just...
You know. No.
Well, is it really that different than what we were already doing? If you were being arrested, you could be fingerprinted.
True.
Well, you see, to get around this, if you have a phone you don't want anybody to access and it's a fingerprint, use your big toe.
Actually, in this case, I just wouldn't put a fingerprint in it because then you can claim not my phone, I don't know the PIN. Or even better, you know, maybe you shouldn't store that kind of shit in a phone.
Thank you. Somebody fucking said the bleeding fucking obvious. Don't use tech and criminal conspiracies, you fucktards. That is fucking Clinton's problem. God damn it.
That was using it extremely stupidly, as well as making sure to keep records and not instantly destroy stuff. But
well, I still like her admin going on Reddit. Guys, how do I scrub these emails? Come on, guys. I mean, okay, but, now I do understand the concept of, you know, you do end up... I guess if you're a drug dealer, you need to be able to make phone calls so you know where to make your drops and shit like that.
But, mine doesn't.
Well, okay.
Dude, he doesn't use a phone at all.
I'm not as well versed. I mean, I could be, you know, I could be wrong. I'm willing to admit
that. I think you're talking about the average than a fucking retard who drops out of high school at fucking the 80-point IQ.
Yeah.
You know, and thinks fucking dressing like a wigger and fucking slinging dope on a corner is fucking cool. Sorry, I like my drug dealer to wear a 3-piece fucking suit, carry a briefcase, and have some sort of professionalism about themselves.
I mean, I just kind of assumed that's what the $10 phones at Walmart were for. Is,
yeah, well,
you know, you buy 3 or 4 of them, register them on fake names, and then after you did something stupid, crack it in half and chuck it in the fire bin.
Pay a little bit extra and get some professionalism. After all, drug dealing is a profession as well if done correctly. You know?
Well.
Always take pride in your work.
Look at the cartels, man. Do you think they fucking stood on the corner slinging fucking dope, dressed like fucking wiggers?
No, they got the dumbass kids with the 80 IQ to do it, so when they got busted, they didn't
exactly,
get caught.
Exactly, man. Don't deal with the fucking 80 IQ fuckwit on the corner. Go one step up.
Well, they probably went 2 steps up so that they, had a middleman.
Yeah, but people get themselves in trouble because of stupid shit. Like, attack a criminal thing that you're going to do. Attack the idea of, like, if you're going to do some criminal act, think about it like you're building something like an engineer. Think of all the failures and then build ways in around to fucking get around it, you know?
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I take pride in my crimes.
Go ahead, man. But
is this any really different than you're pulled over for drunk driving while you're being waited to be charged, you're taken down to the courthouse and fingerprinted?
Yes, because the warrant was anybody in the house. So if it's buddies, you know, doing something stupid, and they know buddy's doing something stupid, so they arrest buddy and they fingerprint him while they've got him in lockup, that's one thing. He was arrested for a crime. They're fingerprinting anybody who happened to be in the house. So
yeah,
it's like, you were just in proximity? Yeah, fuck you. We're taking your shit.
I can see a massive abuse for this. Hey, look, we pretty sure, like, Ted's a fucking 3-piece suit wearing criminal, but we can't get dick on him because he's always one step ahead of us. But he hangs out with Borion over there, who's like a half-baked stone of fuckwit. Let's raid his place, get his fingerprints and the other guy's fingerprints, then we can frame him for the fucking crime we got.
Well, I kind of wonder, I mean, of course, this is slippery slope, but I do kind of wonder if it's just going to get to the point of, okay, here's your driver's license, put your hand on the scanner, please. We need to enter you in the database in case we ever need to get in your phone. And, they're just going to start requiring, I just kind of wonder until they're just going to say, fuck it, we need to be able to get in anybody's phone, so we're just going to collect everybody's metrics.
That's
the slippery
slope, dude.
I know it's slippery slope. I'm throwing it out there, though. Of course,
do the pin.
Do the pin, and if you're really that worried about it, sandpaper your fingers every once in a while. What do you think, Static? You sandpaper your hands?
But then how will your fingerprint work for your own phone when it's not the cops looking for the fingerprint?
You don't use the fingerprint on your phone. You use the pin.
There you go. Bingo. But better yet, don't engage in illegal activities to begin with. You wouldn't be in the situation.
That's very good advice.
I wanted to end on that. Thank you.
Yeah, don't. I think that's the best advice of the evening. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
No, we need to argue first. Go ahead, BSC.
Well, going back to that whole engineering aspect, the best way for something not to fail is not to actually engage in the...
We need our use don't be a fuckwit t-shirts.
I like what you're saying there, BSV, but that's a very sheltered way to live. I never would have had my first interracial homosexual experience without that. If I'd never gone.
Well,
wow. I would have never chased a rabbit backwards up a hill in a Toyota Paseo if I lived that way.
Or Moon to Bar.
Yeah, I was not going with the illegal aspect, but...
Okay, how you would reckless driving and then flashing people. I would like to say both of those are illegal.
Indecent exposure, yes. It was very indecent. Oh, God, I wish I could take back that memory.
Oh, yeah, balls and everything, dude. I pressed it up against the glass.
I didn't think he would do it, but he did.
They had to. You were threatening not to take him home.
Yep.
So, alright, first story from The Verge, and this is just comical. It is now a federal crime to bring a Galaxy Note 7 onto an airplane. The Federal Aviation Administration officially banned Galaxy Note 7s from being brought onto airplanes early this week. Under the new emergency restriction prohibition order, it is now a federal crime to fly with the device. The FAA issued the emergency restriction prohibition order number FAA 2016-9288 on Friday, which states that as of October 15th, noon on October 15th, flyers are prohibited from bringing the device on the aircraft. The order restricts passengers from carrying the phone on their person, in carry-on baggage, in checked baggage, or as cargo, and says that anyone who inadvertently brings someone on a plane must power it down immediately. Carriers are also required to deny boarding to a passenger in possession of the phone. Like the mark of the beast there, shit. Passengers who bring a Note 7 on the plane are subject to civil penalties of up to $179,933 for each. How do you come up with that number?
That's what I mean. That's an arbitrary number, isn't it?
That's a very... Why did I just say $180,000? What, you know, why are we knocking 66 bucks off of this? I don't understand.
Because it's under the threshold of what they have to turn in, so they're pocketing the money.
Ah. So for each violation, for each day they are found to be in violation, could be prosecuted, which could result in fines under Title 18, imprisonment up to 10 years, or both. So, two things with this story. One, everybody and their mother has said turn these phones back in, they will burst into flames, catch fire, and kill your children. So if you still have a Galaxy Note 7 and you're hanging onto it for shits and giggles at this point, well, I don't think anybody's, you know, at this point I'm pretty sure you've gotten the message and you're just waiting for your YouTube video. Or potential lawsuit against Samsung, maybe? I don't know. They've issued so many recalls, like, that would be a hard case to win.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to win anymore.
But number two, the Federal Aviation Administration is making law. Isn't Congress supposed to do that? Not to get all political on you. I just, you know.
Congress delegated a lot of their lawmaking ability when it comes to dangerous substances and the Patriot Act when it comes to aviation.
I know.
But yes,
that.
Technically, just... Congress is supposed to ban the Note 7 from going on planes.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to, you know, can't we get some debate on that from the presidential candidates? I mean, come on.
But okay, so question here, is it really a law or is it a regulation? There is a difference.
The regulation.
It is technically a regulation, but the story says it's illegal, which... So.
A regulation can still be illegal.
Well, that's where... The whole difference thing is kind of moot. Congress can't give away its powers to enact law. And if something is taking your money away or imprisoning you, it's imposed by the government. That's kind of a law. It's like saying it's illegal to murder people, so we're not going to call it murder. We're going to call it giving them a grilled cheese sandwich. I didn't murder Bob. I gave him a grilled cheese sandwich. Thus, it's legal. Even though both of them involve me taking a .38 and blowing his brains out.
The hell of a cheese sandwich. I don't know. BSV, what are you doing with the supply of Note 7s? I thought I saw you loading those into a missile the other day.
Well, there are those experiments. Mostly just giving them to drug dealers for self-destructing evidence.
Oh, this no, this could be a
more fingerprint
for this. All it's criminals like... should have their Note 7. It will automatically self-destruct upon arrest or so many user hours.
Take WhatsApp or what? Not WhatsApp, Snapchat. Take that shit, Snapchat.
What's
not only
that
do our
movie
messages
where they
disappear, the phone blows up.
Do the movie Wedlock. You know, two phones tied to each other. If they go outside of like a certain distance away, they both explode at the exact same time.
And that's what happens when you cheat on your wife.
If you haven't seen the movie Wedlock, I recommend it.
I have not.
It's technically a movie about a futuristic prison where there's no walls. And each prisoner doesn't know whose collar is attached to each person. So if one of them walks off the reservation, it'll kill both of them.
And you don't know who your partner is.
Yeah, you'll never know who it is. So all the prisoners have to keep an eye on each other so no one leaves. It's a pretty interesting idea.
It assumes the prisoners would care.
I care if I die.
Yeah,
but you're not dumb enough to be in prison right now, Madman. You're either haven't committed any crimes or have at least gotten away with the ones you committed. So, you know, either way, there's a level of intelligence there, we assume.
Could be blind luck.
I mean, prisons are generally filled with deep people, so it could be blind luck. You are correct. I said assume.
Oh, imagine if they all got together on some sort of democracy and decided to move as a flock of criminals.
They do move in herds.
I think
we all need
game.
To go to a Krispy Kreme. We need to knock this fucker over. I want some donuts.
Oh, shit. All right, next story is from Tech Dirt. And I hate Tech Dirt because their writing is terrible. So instead of reading the article here, I'm just going to try to summarize it. CNN's Chris Cuomo was discussing dissecting the latest WikiLeaks document dump, and he informed users that it is illegal for anybody but a member of the media to download and view the contents of the Podesta leaks. And they've got the video there, and I've seen that video all over YouTube where he actually does say, you know, it is illegal to possess the Clinton emails. Only the media is allowed to do it, so you have to let us tell you what they mean. So, yeah.
And if you look at some of the WikiLeaks emails, he was invited to a nice little luncheon with Hillary Clinton and the dude whose emails we're all reading discuss the media stance on the election.
So here's the exact quote. Remember, it is illegal to possess these stolen documents. It's different for the media. So everything you learn about this, you are learning from us. Damn. It's like, no, we will tell you what to think. When we want your opinion, we will give it to you. So obviously that's not how legal precedent with the First Amendment works. It is in fact not illegal to hold these documents because they've been leaked publicly. However, the leaker could be responsible for it. So lots of people have called him out on this, saying no, it is in fact not illegal to have the WikiLeaks emails. Politics aside, if you have leaked documents on the internet and you're not the one leaking them, when you don't want to appear to be the one leaking them, that's why WikiLeaks is in so much trouble, because people don't understand how WikiLeaks worked. That's why Assange has been trapped in a Ecuadorian embassy for 4 years, but because he is, as far as the leaking stuff goes, he's actually not done anything illegal. You can disagree with him, you can hate him, but most of the big leaks came from Bradley Manning and Snowden. Well, no, Snowden didn't go to WikiLeaks, did he?
I think he may have on some of his stuff.
Some of it? Okay, I can't remember. But Assange was given all of this data. People give it to him, and then he publishes it, and he takes all the heat for it. But he's not the one breaking the law. It's the person taking the documents that are supposed to be confidential and handing them to Assange to publish. But people don't understand that, so everybody ends up hating Assange. And I've got a funny story about that one later. So, again, politics aside, if it's publicly leaked and everyone knows it's leaked, it's fine. Nobody's going to come after you for holding these things. They're just scaremongering on TV because, you know, they don't want you looking into it yourself. They want to tell you what to think.
Not like you should study who you're about to vote for president.
God, no. Just do what the idiot box tells you to do. We're the God box. We tell you what to do.
Is this the hate of WikiLeaks?
We were discussing that a little bit. It was a CNN reporter basically telling everyone that only the media was allowed to look at the WikiLeaks email leaks. Anyone else having it was illegal.
Anybody else notice the hypocrisy of this whole thing? All the people that are shouting WikiLeaks down now, the same people that were championing them when they were dishing it out on Bush.
Well, they don't understand what WikiLeaks is.
Well, they love the idea of bagging the Bush administration, but bag Hillary? Oh my God, no!
Yeah, it's total two-faced. It's stupid.
But it's the exact same people.
Get on all the politicians equally. We need to know their dirty laundry. They're ruling us.
They'd be ruling you. Oh,
no. I'm voting for the first dictator of the world, bitch. Trump's going to be your president, too. You just don't know it yet.
Damn!
Just get ready to say, Madam President.
I'm still going to fly over there and punch you in the balls if she's elected.
Feel free, man.
Hey, if nothing else, it's a road trip to Australia.
Look, exactly. You've been jinxing it for this long. You've been saying this for months.
I've been saying this for the last 2 years, man. Don't forget, this shit's been going for 2 fucking years now.
Yeah,
we're all just going to be happy it's over. Although, since we're slipping into politics here, Trump
like
said
19
something.
Days.
Yeah, Trump said something in one of his speeches, and everyone in history who has said this has not won anything. So, that he's for congressional term limits.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The moment a politician says that, they're like dead in the water all of a sudden.
That's only because they lose support from other politicians. But
he's already lost all the support from the politicians.
Exactly. At this point, like...
So, at the end of the I just day, thought that man, was like, interesting.
Another thing that he said that it's going to get all politicians to shit on him. He wants to put a ban on politicians becoming lobbyists for 5 years after they've been elected. I mean, 5 years after they left office.
I would like to see that, but it's nothing to do with me. I'm constantly getting arguments with people here. They're bagging the shit out of Trump. I'm like, why the fuck do you care? It's not our country. Like, really, no other country should have a say in this. Why is the world's media getting involved?
Well, according to the Democrats, the Russians are trying to have a say in it. So, you know.
Oh, good. Good on them. Why do we suddenly make the Russians the fucking bad guys?
I think they just want an excuse to start another world war.
Oh, Hillary's already kind of pushed that way.
We're already in a fucking world war. Have you not seen the stuff coming out of the Ukraine?
Yeah.
They are beating the shit out of each other before winter. Like, Donetsk is equivalent to almost downtown Syria at this point.
But the TV hasn't said anything, are you?
No,
that means it hasn't happened.
Yeah, they never actually show any of the Russian-Ukrainian war.
Oh, you can watch some of that on... Oh, God, I'll pull up the site.
It's hard to find, though, Madman. You're right. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to know where to look.
Yeah, and if I didn't comb Live Leak every fucking day, I'd never see it, you know? Or, you know, the peaceful, tolerant people of Islam, you know, throwing dozens of homosexuals off buildings.
Peacefully.
Peacefully,
they're very peacefully laying in that splatter on the ground.
In pieces.
Well, we could bag on politics for another half hour, or we can move on. What do you want to do?
We can move
on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right, next article. Next article is from epic.org. Did I already throw the link out? I did. Sweet. New survey supported by the Craig Newman Foundation shows that while 80% of Americans use social media daily, 96% do not trust social networks to protect their privacy. The study found that only 7% of millennials trust these sites to protect their data. Excuse me. A majority of Americans surveyed also expressed concern about the lack of safety online, including fears of identity theft, email hacking, non-consensual online tracking. Many Americans think privacy laws are too weak. Among all groups, millennials are increasingly aware of the need for stronger privacy laws. Epic maintains a webpage devoted to and has launched the Data Protection 2016 campaign to highlight privacy protection in the 2016 election. So, pretty much this survey came out and said, everybody said, yeah, no, we know Facebook is fucking us over. So it's common knowledge. Why does everybody still post all their drunk pics and shit on these networks?
They don't care the way they're getting fucked?
I guess.
Well, it's
like they literally just don't care.
Facebook is mostly selling your shit to advertisers. And I don't really care about that, personally. I don't use Facebook because I just don't like the idea of Facebook. But getting targeted ads, that's not really harmful.
Static, you use Facebook on regularly, don't you? Static? We've lost
Facebook
him.
Got him. Facebook got him.
BSV, are you on Facebook, Henny?
I had a dummy account, but that was long deleted.
That doesn't count.
My problem with Facebook isn't as much their data farming and selling to advertisers. My problem with Facebook is their targeted news feeds. If you're on Facebook, and it's not just Facebook, Google does the same thing, possibly to a lesser degree. If you like a story, they start sending you stories like that rather than giving you the news. Because you shouldn't be able to build your own echo chamber when it comes to that. Or at least, Facebook shouldn't build an echo chamber for you. And they do that.
Yeah,
with all of their feeds.
Well, what I was going to get at Static with, since I guess he went AFK on us. Like, I know he posts pictures for like his family to see every once in a while, and I was expecting him to say something about the fact that he, you know, he doesn't care if they're public or not, because it's just, I mean, who cares, right? So that's where I thought he was going to take it. Is like, yeah, we know that it's not secure, but what they're posting, they don't care if anybody gets it or not. So.
My sister's active on it because it's the way she keeps track of a lot of our family. Because
mm-hmm.
I've got relatives in California, Washington State, New York, I mean, all over the place. Aunts, uncles, and cousins that I just don't really talk to because I don't go see them face-to-face and they're not on TeamSpeak. But she keeps track of all of them.
Well, I pretty much don't use Facebook to avoid my crazy family, so... Nope, I've seen what they're all posting on there. Nope, not involved. Nope. So.
Some of the crazy is worth avoiding, but it's also nice to talk to people every so often. So I can see social networking being an okay thing. Except I don't know if I would just go...
You have the to just accept with... that, it, you know, and if you mark it private, it doesn't mean jack. If it's a picture you don't want shared, don't post it.
Well, that's one of my big problems. If I'm marking it private and I'm trusting everyone that I've allowed access to my page to just respect and not, you know, toss my shit everywhere, that's okay. I don't like that Facebook changes your settings every so often. And they say it's a glitch whenever they do an update, and sometimes it might be. I just don't think they should change my settings.
I agree.
Is that still a big issue? Because I've been told that hasn't been a problem in a while, but that's a big problem I have.
I haven't heard of them doing it in a long time. So, but yeah, they did certainly used to do that, like, quite a bit. So, I don't know.
Yeah, Psychros has got a kind of a good opinion on it. It's like a ham radio. It's a common tool with no privacy. It doesn't make it worthless. It just limits it. So treat it like you're talking in a room with your family and there's just random people walking in and out. Don't say anything too stupid.
given my family. Anyways.
Doing Facebook and drink.
Yeah, that's probably the best advice right there.
But isn't there... I should have looked this up, but I didn't even think we'd talk about Facebook. I think one of Facebook's users is suing them to gain control of his personal information. So it would prevent Facebook from being able to sell it pretty much without your okay if he wins.
I was looking for that. I didn't see it.
I know there's a 21-year-old suing his parents for putting baby pictures of him on Facebook.
Okay. Every parent is allowed to have that embarrassing photo of you. Get the fuck over it.
No, he's not disputing the idea of having the photo. He's just like, why the fuck would you post that without my permission?
Because I don't need it. I took it. You were a kid. You were my property at the time. Fuck up. This is me embarrassing you in front of the world. Grow a fucking backbone. My parents had that picture. It was me as a... like a few month old, sleeping on a rock naked in the middle of a lake. I don't even know how the fuck I got out there. I'm really happy they didn't drop me and let me drown.
That photo was to remind them that they had a child, they were going to leave you there. They didn't want you. I'm sorry to tell you.
They changed their mind, and that's all the fuck that matters.
They came back. Exactly. They just wanted the photo so they knew where you were if they changed their mind.
So.
That's child porn. Yes, it actually meets the definition of child porn. Except I don't think anyone has whacked off to my baby pictures.
I don't know. We've got a few people of IHN we haven't seen in a long time. I'm just going to leave that right where that is and go on to the next story from the BBC. Or you sent me this story, actually. Say you're driving
down.
Or
on purpose.
Say you're driving down a two-way street and there's a lorry unloading a delivery in the opposite lane. The oncoming traffic needs to pull out into your lane to overtake. What do you do? Many of us just drive on as we have the right of way, but eventually one of us feels charitable and slows down and allows the oncoming car to overtake, giving them permission with a quick flash of the headlights or a wave. What if the car waited patiently behind the parked lorry is a driverless or autonomous vehicle? Will this robot car be able to understand what you mean when you flash the lights or frantically wave your hands? Its sensors could decide it's only safe to overtake when there's no oncoming traffic at all or on a busy road at school time. This may lead to never leaving, and this may mean never, leading to increasingly exasperated passengers and increasingly angry drivers queuing behind. And how will a robot car nudge out from a T-junction on the oncoming traffic to be able to make the necessary eye contact with a human driver? The safety-first robot cars could become victims of their own politeness and end up being bullied and ignored by aggressive and impatient humans. Yes, yes, we're worried about the car abuse. Here come the tumblerettes.
Being ignored?
I'm going to get... that car's going to be a fucking cutter when I'm done with it.
Oh, yeah, dude. I abuse machinery like it owes me money. I go Joe Pesci on their asses sometimes, man.
Crichton, how talking did you pick like... the bioprinter? A good swift kicking, sir.
Yeah. Like, I'm talking casino Joe Pesci here, you know. I'm not talking, you know, faggoty comedic Joe Pesci.
This, at any rate, is one of the conclusions to be drawn from research carried out by Dr. Chris Tennant of the Psychological and Behavioral Science Department at the London School of Economics. His Europe-wide study, commissioned by tire maker Goodyear, finds that nearly two-thirds of drivers think machines won't have enough common sense to interact with human drivers. That's actually true. A lot of the studies on the automated cars say the problem is going to be the human drivers on the road. Because the machines are going to drive to the law, not with the flow of traffic, it's going to cause problems. And more than two-fifths think a robot car would remain stuck behind the hypothetical parked lorry for a long time. Driving isn't just about technology engineering, it's about human interactions and psychology. The road is social space, as Carlos Cipolletti, that's not his name, Cipolletti, General Director of the Goodyear Innovation Center in Luxembourg, put it. And as the social aspects makes many people skeptical about driverless cars. So... they're worried people are going to abuse the driverless cars.
This isn't a big enough issue that one example of I'm going to let this car around the truck to matter. How often do trucks block traffic?
I would imagine, this is from the BBC, so I'd imagine in European cities it probably happens a lot more often because they have the narrow roads.
London's very narrow, man.
Because they have roads from like the Middle Ages, and most of our roads are built for cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why the American automobile never ever was successful in America, because everything you've got is straight. So cars never really had to handle. You know, that's why you get like an old fucking 1980s Porsche will handle better than the modern day. Camaro or something like that, because Americans just like to go 200 miles per hour in a straight fucking line, where Europeans like to go around corners. That's why you see like Formula One has left and right, and fucking NASCAR and shit only goes left.
Turn.
Yeah, you guys have no idea how to build a suspension setup, and never will.
We've probably got some stuff up in New England that would probably fit a European style, just due to the age.
It's the interstates that don't fit the European style. If you go on the U.S. highway system, like 231 or Highway 60 around here, curvy.
Yeah,
you'd
want it to be a big floating suspension of comfort, you know, to do 100 mile an hour straight, where in a European car, you're constantly feeling every bump in the road because the suspension setup's a lot tighter and meant for cornering.
So, but it's just, I don't know. you probably know more about cars, or at least I know certainly than me, but I was going to say probably more than everybody else on the channel, are you? What do you think about the automated crap?
I don't think, why are we worrying what the car feels? You know, is it, I want to see the first man to die from an aneurysm because he's so pissed off at his automated car. You know, he is just like getting to work. Blood pressure is like fucking 320 over 180, and he's fucking foaming. Like, I'd be more worried about the stress it's going to put on some people who have no patience.
Oh God, road rage, pull out a Mac 10 on an automated car.
Oh, I can see someone just fucking going mental and punching the shit out of it.
Like, I'm just waiting for the automated trucking to come in, because then we'll see piracy on the highways.
Yeah, I mean, I once threatened an alloy block with a blowtorch. That's how fucking medieval I was getting on that shit. I think the stress on people is going to be a much bigger thing than how the car feels. I mean, it's going to make for some lot more interesting conversations in gridlock traffic if you have to concentrate.
Yeah, this kind of shit about, oh no, you're hurting the car's feeling, that's right up there with the groups that are like, oh no, we're just now getting into robotics, you better not make sex robots because that would be degrading to the robots. I mean, it's like, do you not understand what these things are?
There is no 300-pound man who's going to blow his load on a sex robot and not feel ashamed of himself after it. The robot's not going to feel shame.
The robot's an automaton. It, by definition, feels nothing.
Like, I'm going to go to town on a sex robot while my wife's at a conference, man. I'm going to feel shame and guilt after it. The robot's going to feel nothing.
It's not the shame and guilt when you're blowing your load. It's that when you clean that thing out of the cum sack that you're building it.
Oh, madman.
You know, madman's not wrong. It is a conversation that we're all going to have with our grandchildren at one point. How to clean the autonomous sex robot correctly as not to get some sort of disease.
You just take it apart and pop it in the dishwasher and you're done.
Stop! Put you in the dishwasher.
God damn it, we put plates in there.
Don't stick the vibrating cooch in with the plates and the pots and pans.
God damn it, your grandmother eats all those dishes.
By itself. And then after you wash the robot cooch, you wash the dishwasher.
See, this is why we can't trust parents to teach this shit at home. It needs to be taught in the schools how to clean your autonomous sex product.
Oh, God, no. This just needs to be taught on 4chan alone.
Can you see that? Hey, Grandpa, we're doing autonomous sex cleanups next week in med school. Oh, great.
Fucking tools. I bet they don't even use a wire brush.
See, that's why you just go with the old-fashioned prostitute, Jimmy. She wipes herself off afterwards.
That's only if you get a classy one, madman. Only if you get a classy one.
It's worth the extra buck, 75.
And that's been your futurism segment on Galaxy 15 Radio.
Future discussions with the grandkitties.
I do think for a little bit when automated cars get more prevalent, there are going to be some accidents because it's going to move into the passing lane and not speed up to 85, and I'm just going to rear in the bitch and cuss the fucker out like mad.
Madman, do you know how to successfully perform a maneuver? Because I can see a lot of that in my future.
So, here's the thing. How long before you can get a job as a psychoanalyst for the automated car?
4 seconds. It's called, we're deleting your operating system and doing a fresh install. Wow, your mental problems have been fixed.
No. I want the job title. When can I get that job? I don't care that all I'm doing is reinstalling Windows. I do that shit anyways.
I guess as soon as you have a boss cool enough to let you have your own job title.
Well, technically, I could have put anything I want on my business card.
There you are. You should have had a psychoanalyst for network systems.
I thought about it, but I really wanted a professional penetration tester on there as well.
Oh, number one a rapid response to psychoanalystic Windows boxes or some shit. But make it sound like an emergency title.
Ooh, penetration tester could also double as a pimp.
And dude, Madman finally got the joke. My God, that's like 6 years in the making.
Well, Morps, you've had the person go, what do you mean you test pens?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Oh, that fucking hurts.
I've actually been getting into fountain pens lately, so, you know, I mean...
yes, this one has a smooth line. Feel how silky and friction-free it is?
I happen to like the Lamy ink, but I know a lot of people go for Noodlers, so... Okay, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah. We are back next to talking up. About sex.
So, what was wrong with the dishwasher part again?
It's just proper etiquette. You don't wash your robot cooch with the plates and the pans. What you do is, after you do the normal dishes, you then wash the robot cooch, you then stick some lemon and then just the dishwasher cleaner stuff that cleans the dishwasher itself, and then clean the dishwasher, and then go back to normal use.
Well, if
you've thought about this.
Yeah, he's really cool.
If you have enough to actually buy a robot, I'm sure they'll have a separate appliance to clean it.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, BSV. I'm just now curious, how much is a real doll? And let's put something weird in the Google history here. $7,000? Holy...
Oh, yeah, they're creepy as hell, dude. No, you just get you a rental. Don't buy a real doll.
I don't
think
you
can bust a nut in one of those things. They're too fucking creepy.
Oh, my God. It's like, well, let's start a robotics project. That's kind of human-looking. No.
Yeah, they're too creepy to have sex with. You don't buy those for yourself. You buy those to ship to your friends.
$7,000? That want to be a pretty funny fucking joke.
Oh, I need to win the lottery. I have some ideas.
Oh, it's not just your friends. See, I know where my friends' parents live, and they spend Christmas there still.
That would be awkward.
Merry Christmas, and he's opening up in front of, you know, his family. It'll be amazing.
What the hell is this? Like, is that a dead chick? Did somebody give me a dead chick? Nope. That's just the latest version of my size Barbie.
And what's great, I'm going to be a couple blocks away, probably, so I get to hear the screaming.
You sit just sitting there timing it so you hear, what the fuck? Smile, nod, walk home.
Anyways, you're like, yep.
Next story is from Ars Technica, and it also involves autonomous cars. Tesla has been told by the German Transport Ministry to stop using the term autopilot because it's a misleading term.
What's misleading about it?
Bild am Stung, the German Transport Minister, Alexander Dobrindt, wrote a letter to Tesla saying, in order to prevent misunderstanding and incorrect customer expectations, we demand that the misleading term autopilot is no longer used in advertising the system. As far as we're aware, this is the first time the government has asked Tesla to stop using the term autopilot. There has been pressure building over the past few months for car companies to, in general, to avoid using terms like self-driving, autonomous, and autopilot. Bild am Stung also reported that the German Transport Ministry wrote to owners of Tesla cars on Friday, reminding them that they must remain constantly vigilant while operating a vehicle in autopilot mode. Autopilot is a pure driver assistance program and not a highly automated vehicle that can be operated without constant attention of the driver, said the letter. A Tesla spokesperson told Ars Tesla's autopilot operates in conjunction with the human driver to make driving safer and less stressful. This is how the term has been used for decades in aerospace, to denote a support system that operates under direct supervision of a human pilot. We have always been clear with our customers that autopilot is a driver assistance system that requires the driver to pay attention at all times, similar to a driver assistance system from other manufacturers. So basically, Tesla is going with the traditional textbook definition of autopilot, as in it keeps the plane kind of going the same direction and flying by instruments, but the human pilot is there and making sure the thing doesn't decide to nosedive. Whereas, you know, the government's like, oh no, that's a misleading term because people are going to think it flies itself. It's a plane because it uses the word autopilot. No. Come on, people.
And everyone who's been on an Airbus knows the pilot needs to watch those things or you'll end the side of a mountain.
I mean, do they honestly... Actually, you know what? They do.
Yes, people are that stupid, Morps. There are some people out there that will kick on the autopilot and go to sleep. That's how someone has died.
Yep, it's been a rocky few months with Tesla's autopilot feature, kicking off with the death of a driver in Florida who is apparently watching a DVD of Harry Potter while using a Tesla model. How do they know that what movie he was watching? Why couldn't you just say, watch a movie? No, he was watching Harry Potter when he died.
Probably have a black box.
It's not a black box. They hit the eject on the DVD player. And what happened? He hit the back of a white truck. The car couldn't distinguish it from the sky.
I remember that story, yeah. And China, following another crash under autopilot control, Tesla reportedly reworded its website to clarify that autopilot is not self-driving technology. Data still appears to be on Tesla's side, though. Back in June, the company wrote that when used in conjunction with driver oversight, the data is unequivocal that autopilot reduces driver workload and results in statistically significant improvement in safety when compared to purely manual driving. Well, sure. I mean, the thing is going to keep it in the lanes. It's going to make sure that you're not going to plow into the car in front of it. And other than that, it's basically a really fancy cruise control. I mean, you can't exactly punch in the GPS coordinates and let the car drive itself from here to there yet, but it's basically fancy cruise control. It just happens to help keep the car in the lanes, and it'll brake for you if it thinks you're about to plow into the back of a car, apparently, as long as it's not a large white truck. So,
I won't use one.
So,
I won't use one now because I don't trust it. I have fun driving. I want to get a stick shift again. Nothing is more fun than having all the control of your car.
Oh my God, Tesla! Psychos just posted in the chat room here. Somebody thought people do that with cruise control. Someone sued Winnebago and won because they set the cruise control, then went in the back to make a sandwich.
Damn, went off the side of a road. And some people have won the Darwin Award for that as well.
It's like, I'm just going to hit the cruise control and go make a sandwich. God.
And this person had enough money to purchase a Winnebago van with cruise control. How did they make it that far
in
life?
If you look on Winnebago's now...
As Madman said, dumb luck.
On the sun visor thing, the thing you flip down from the top to shield your eyes from the sun, it actually says cruise still drive while using cruise control.
Wow. All right, next article is from the BBC. Darwin Awards, my God. Next one's from the BBC. NatWest Bank is to close the accounts of Russia's state-run broadcaster RT. Editor-in-chief Margarita Simone tweeted that they have closed our accounts in Britain, all of our accounts. The decision is not subject to review. Praise be to freedom of speech. The bank said the decision was not taken lightly and the accounts were still operative at present. An MP from Russia's ruling party has said that its parliament will demand an explanation from the UK. RT says the entire Royal Bank of Scotland group, of which NatWest is part, is refusing to provide its services. The broadcaster, previously known as Russia Today, says NatWest wrote to its London office saying, "We have recently undertaken a review of your banking arrangements with us and reached a conclusion that we will no longer provide these facilities." RT says they're being censored. The banks just say, "We don't want to do business with you," pretty much. So,
do private institutions have a right to do that?
They do have the right to do that, but I with what's going on in the world, I kind of wonder if they're trying to get RT out of their news cycle and out of their country because they think we're about to go to war.
If Britain, as a country, like the British government, is pushing this, then it's censorship. If it's the bank saying, "I want to end my relationship with you," not.
We don't know.
Either way, I think it's stupid.
Yeah, the bank RT said it insisted its decision was final. It was not prepared to enter any discussion. A letter posted online by the channel appears to show that the freeze is not in effect yet. They're going to be closed and canceled on December the 12th. So they're at least letting them get their assets out. UK Treasury says it does not comment on individual cases, but that no new sanctions or obligations related to Russia have been imposed on British banks by the government since February of 2015. A spokesperson for the Prime Minister, Theresa May, said it's a matter for the bank and it's for them to decide who they offer services to. So,
matter for the bank doesn't mean anything. I can say this in the banking industry. For a while, certain administrations were pressuring banks in this country not to offer financial services to gun stores, porn shops, and a few other businesses that the government considered questionable. The bank was not allowed to say why it was not doing business with these entities, only that it wasn't going to continue a business relationship.
Damn.
So, the British bank will probably operate something similar to that. If they are being pressured by the government not to do business with either Russian businesses or that particular Russian business, they're not going to be able to say that we're being pressured. They're just not going to continue a business.
Yeah. Madman, I don't know how true it is, but you'd know more being in the banking. Legal marijuana can't bank their money with regular banking, right?
That's being lessened a little bit because it's federally illegal.
Yeah.
Technically, if a bank has opens a checking account for a marijuana dispensary, it is being complicit in several felonies. And
so who can takes be charged their money?
For a while. Now, the reason I'm saying this is lessened is the Obama administration has come out and said they're not going to go after banks that are dealing with dispensaries that are operating in states legally. So some banks are getting more and more likely to get into this. But for a while, when it was super hard, the suggestion was get a private ATM, because not all ATMs are actually run by banks. So the marijuana dispensary would have an ATM in its building owned by the dispensary, stocked in cash by the dispensary, and whoever was wanting to buy the marijuana would go over to the ATM, stick in their ATM card, get cash, use that to buy the marijuana, and the bank itself is never taking part in the transaction. They're just cashing out, they're getting cash for a customer.
I'm following it, and that way doesn't sound any less seedy than just direct depositing.
It's enough of a separation, and the customer, it's not the marijuana dispensary's ATM. Bob, that owns the ATM, also owns a marijuana dispensary, but they can be classified as two separate businesses. So, bank isn't doing business with Bob, the marijuana dispensary. They're doing business with Bob, the ATM.
Yeah, fair enough.
It is a wink and a nudge, but it's enough of a legal separation that banks get away with it. Now, Bob had a problem with, he needed two safes at this point, one safe for his cash and one safe for the pot. Because if the cash smelled like pot, the bank wouldn't take it.
Wow.
But back on the CD side of the Russian thing, yeah, the bank won't be able to tell the news organization that we're not doing business with you because Parliament is saying not to, because Parliament's going to do the same thing that Congress did here. The bank will have to say, we are just discontinuing our business relationship.
Okay.
All right. Next article is from
the Zionist media controlled Vice News.
Oh, that guy was funny. This is from board.vice.com and is hilarious. Hotspot vigilantes are trying to beam the internet to Julian Assange. On Sunday, October the 16th, the Ecuadorian government cut off Julian Assange's internet connection from inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London. The country's foreign office said the severance came in response to Assange's continued interference in the U.S. election campaign, as WikiLeaks continued to publish hacked emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign advisor John Podesta. Since then, a small but bubbling movement has grown online, attempting to get Assange's internet connection back. Last night, a post appeared on 4chan, urging people to head to the embassy to set up mobile Wi-Fi hotspots for him to use. The operation is known as Operation Hot Pockets.
That is fucking amazing.
What's even more amazing is that they cut off his internet access because they thought he was interfering with the elections. Like, Assange probably hasn't been involved in the direct operation of WikiLeaks in a long time because he's been trapped in this embassy. So I'm sure he's got somebody else who's running the whole thing.
At this point, he should just step out. He's effectively in prison.
We are now calling on Brits to get their asses down to the embassy and stand around in mass, taking shifts with Wi-Fi hotspots on hand. Give Assange constant network and moral support, all while streaming it live for the world to see. Motherboard UK visited the Ecuadorian embassy, where WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has claimed political asylum since August of 2012, to find out. While no charges have ever been brought against him, he hasn't been able to leave the embassy for more than 4 years. If he did, Britain would deport him to Sweden. Admittedly, for allegedly committing rape. So, admittedly, on late October afternoon, things were rather quiet on the street outside the embassy. He found Marco loitering in the embassy, turning off on and off his mobile hotspot. He got scared when I approached him. He finally explained how he was hoping to aid Assange. And they got a picture of the guy. Daniel wearing sunglasses with an Apple headset in. Yep. I'm trying to help.
Wow.
I'm trying to help by activating the hotspot. We're hoping that Assange actually gets it. We haven't seen so many people. We just hope they're around. Well, if they're doing it right, you're not going to know they're around.
I'm pretty sure Assange is smarter than that. He's not just going to connect to someone's...
To any random-ass Wi-Fi network? No.
Yeah. Like, he's lived this long because he's, you know, paranoid. For good reason.
He's originally Australian, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's, I didn't know until a couple weeks ago that he was brought up in the family. I had a little bit to do with those guys way back. They are a creepy, creepy fucking cult, my friend.
So, yeah, he was hopeful, but he says he hasn't seen anybody else attempting to set up a hotspot. He saw Marco's iPhone. Everybody knows, but now the U.S. are trying to take over. Take all these words and communications out of the way, because he can only provide the truth. Providing the truth is definitely a bigger problem to the United States. Continue, Marco. Blah 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 blah. They've got people out there protesting for him, but so far it doesn't look like a lot of people are setting up hotspots for him to use. And I think you're right. I think he'd be pretty dumb to actually use them. Because if I was in the British intelligence agency. Like, oh yeah, we're going to get a kid who looks like the kind of person to do this, to go out there, hold up a sign, hold up his Verizon hotspot and point to it. I mean, they'd be fucking doing that. And that hotspot, of course, is going to tunnel it straight back to a packet capture and God knows what else.
Yep. So I couldn't see anyone using it.
Not unless you... maybe you could set up Tor or something, get all the way through that. I mean, I've got something in Dojo for that, but I still wouldn't trust it.
I haven't looked at Sweden's legal system, but I don't think they're known for railroading people, are they?
Well, it's not previous Sweden, but Sweden now did. It's equivalent. Sweden seems like they just decided to put like a bag of cats in an old lady's home and just see what happens. And so far, they've just got a bunch of torn up shit and crap and piss everywhere.
The story on Assange is that he had a tryst with a couple of girls and, they willingly slept with him the first time. And then when they woke up because he was having sex with one of them again, and that wasn't okay because she only said yes to sex the first time, not the second time, but now it's allegedly rape. That's the story. One, kind of weak. I mean, it's like if you're already sleeping with him and kind of, he may not have known you stopped. You know what I mean? It's like, when did you change your mind? But, I don't know. I mean, it is a rape charge. You don't want to take it lightly, but at the same time, it sounds pretty weak, you know?
Well, SJWs have watered down rape. I hate to say it. Because once you hear rape, you should auto-default to let's stone a man to death. But it's been so watered down to a chick says she was raped because she had a drink, had sex with some dude that she probably shouldn't have had sex with, and regretted it a week later. That's not rape. That's stupid sex.
I just like to say there's two sides to every story, and you've got to hear both before you make up your mind.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it, I mean, I get that Assange doesn't really want to face the charges because he knows he's probably fucked. But, dude, I don't know, staying in the Ecuadorian embassy, Guantanamo Bay, or even possibly execution on treason. Yeah, I'm going to sleep on the floor of the embassy for how long it takes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they don't execute people in Sweden.
No, will extradite to America.
And it's not so much that they would bother with the trial. It's like, oh, his plane went down. Yeah. Small aircraft, just such a horrible safety record.
Fucking Russians shot him down again.
Cunts. Well, somebody snuck on a Note 7.
It's either that or he'd get deported to America.
Which, if he got a fair trial, he's not broken any laws. He's simply publishing data he's been provided. He's a newspaper.
Yeah, he's not one of the politically approved newspapers.
That's true.
Because, you know, like Breitbart, not that I support Breitbart or anything, but they'll be shut down if certain political parties make their interests.
Yeah. Breitbart's going to get shit on.
They want to, actually. They've openly talked about how internet-only operations aren't real journalism, and journalism should be accredited and licensed, and a whole bunch of other fun, scary language.
But the internet journalisms are the one journalists that are doing actual journalism now.
Why do you think they want to shut down? All right. Next, last article in the news is from Ars Technica. Feds seize 50 terabytes of data from NSA contractor. My God, 50 terabytes. I mean, you can get 4 or 5 terabyte drives, but I mean, that's a lot.
If it's an NSA contractor, why are they needing to seize it? They can just go in and be like, hi, we need our data back.
In a new Thursday court filing, federal prosecutors expanded their accusations against a former National Security Agency contractor. Federal investigation seized at least 50 terabytes of data from Harold Thomas Martin III. At least, oh, three names and a...
And a numeral. That guy's going to shoot somebody in the head with a sniper rifle.
Yeah. Harold Thomas Martin III, at least some of which was national defense information. If all of this data was indeed classified, it would be the largest such heist from the NSA, far larger than what former contractor Snowden took. Prosecutors also said that Martin should remain locked up and noted that he will soon be charged with violations of the Espionage Act. That law, which dates back now nearly a century, is the same law used to charge Chelsea Manning and Snowden, among others. If convicted, violators can face the death penalty. So the Chelsea Manning thing is weird to me.
Bradley.
I mean, they're saying he had a sex change, but...
Chelsea didn't do it. Bradley Manning did.
Right. There's that. But I've never actually seen a video of him saying that. It's just been representatives and... Or her saying that, I guess. I don't know.
I think once he was incarcerated, they weren't going to let him cut his dick off.
Well, I'm just...
They weren't going to pay for it.
It was one of those things where it's like... it's always come from third parties, and it's always been such a, you know, odd claim that it's like...
Man, you look at like, the guy when he was on trial. I almost wonder if somebody's like...
No, I didn't. You're right.
Dude, when you saw him when he was on trial, I mean, he looked medicated as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like the Batman shooter, you know, like the, oh, why am I here? Oh, that's right, all the dead people. You know, he, I don't know whether he actually did shit or they just decided, you know what, this guy's batshit insane. He has not passed his previous psych evaluations. He's talking about cutting his dick off. He has a fear of escalators, you know, makes irrational paranoid noises all the time. Fucking hang him out, man. No one's going to miss this fuck.
Okay, well, like I said, I always thought that was weird the way that kind of came out, so...
Well, he never spoke for himself, as you said. Like...
Yeah.
At least, like, Edward Snowden got on the front foot and it's like, hey, I ran to Russia, I was gonna get fucking killed by my own government, look at the shit they're doing. You know, he actually looks like a sane person, where Bradley Manning just looked like that weird kid that you always wondered was gonna shoot the school up or not.
Yeah. So, anyways, back to the main story. United States Attorney Rod Rosenstein and two other prosecutors laid out the new details in the case against Martin, whose arrest only became public earlier this month. Martin has been a contractor with Booz Allen Hamilton and possessed a top-secret clearance. Well, if he had clearance, new filing states that Martin also took six full banker's boxes worth of paper documents, which were marked as secret or top-secret. The documents date from between 1996 to 2016. The weight of the evidence against the defendant is overwhelming. Documents continue. For example, search of the defendant's car revealed a printed email chain marked as top secret and containing highly sensitive information. The document appears to have been printed by the defendant from an official government account. On the back of the document are handwritten notes describing NSA's classified computer infrastructure and detailed descriptions of classified technical operations. The handwritten notes also include descriptions of the most basic concepts associated with classified operations, as if the notes were intended for an audience outside the intelligence community.
Either that or he's writing a roadmap of how the network works if he is interacting with it.
Mm-hmm. The government also presents new biographical information about Martin, noting he has obtained advanced educational degrees and has taken extensive government training on computer security, including areas of encryption and secure communications. Well, fuck. Well, okay, I don't have the clearances, but I mean, fuck, I know about computer security and encryption, secure communications. Are they coming after me next? Oh, fuck, they might be. Like, you know how this shit works. Shoot him.
He was in possession of shit that he was cleared to look at anyway.
It says former contractor. Once his contract was up, he's supposed to turn over all of his information. So
fair enough, man.
If this was after the contract was over, he's fucked. If it was before the contract was over, they're stupid.
Martin allegedly used a sophisticated software tool which runs without being installed on a computer and provides anonymous internet access, leaving no digital footprint. He ran Tails, okay? He ran fucking Tails. And he tried to use operating systems on his machines that would not leave any forensic evidence. Tails. This would suggest that Martin's was using Tails or other USB.
Is it Puppy Linux? I think Puppy Linux does that. I have a copy of that somewhere.
Any live CD technically does that, as long as you don't mount the hard drive.
I have that in my backpack next to a gun. I'm a terrorist.
While the new filing does not specifically mention it, New York Times reported Wednesday that Martin may have been involved with the Shadow Brokers dump of NSA exploits. A former contractor is accused of owning 10 guns.
And, Your Honor, I'd just like to point out on the, is it the 20th or the 10th, that the subject here did reference himself as to be a terrorist, as he had his live boot and a gun in a backpack. He states in himself, I read back, I am a terrorist.
Among the documents seized, investigators found a letter sent in 2007 to Martin's colleagues in which he criticized the government's information security practices and refers to those same co-workers as clowns. Okay, you know what this is? Oh, you know what I'd be willing to bet this is? He fucked up. He was one of the arrogant security people that people accuse me of being. He thought, well, fine, I'll just back this shit up at home since I can't trust the infrastructure here to do it. I guarantee you this was a self-righteous sysadmin who thought he was going to save the day, he was going to back it up, he was keeping his shoebox, he was keeping his just-in-case, and he
off-site
got nailed with
storage, man. That's the first thing they teach you.
Absolutely.
Off-site storage.
So now, there's another reason I'm interested in this story. So this dude... was maintaining a ton of government data at his residence, even though he had clearance for it at the time. And he's going to probably spend the rest of his life in prison because they're going after him hard.
That's what Hillary did.
Thank you, Madman. I'll let you continue while I get the array for Digital Dojo.
Yeah, if he had clearance at the time and they're dumping on him because it was off-site on an unsecured... Well, it could be secured, and a server that it wasn't an unapproved or unofficial server, that means that Congress, for one, who is supposed to be keeping track of this, but the NSA also doesn't know what all's going on with their information, and it's a way of avoiding FOIA requests in addition to everything else, and would also prevent us from properly archiving it, because a lot of these institutes, they're required by federal law to archive their information. so that, I don't know, the Defense Department can know what's necessary, what they need to know in this system.
So, man, and that comes down to the question, is it gross mismanagement or a conspiracy?
It comes down to, did you give the President of the United States a BJ at any point in his life? If the answer is yes, then not only will you not go to prison, you'll probably become the nominee of a major political party. If the answer is no, you're going to be giving Bubba a BJ at one point in his life, or he'll kick your teeth in, or you might end up dead.
So, Madman, just on a, you know, personal level here, let's say you were in the White House and Obama, you know, told you he wanted a BJ. What would you do?
Okay, now this is kind of hard, because what's the better story? The president asked for a BJ, or I gave a president a BJ? And you've got to be able to cash this in at one point. Like, dude, you know the down low? Because I know you're black, so every black guy wants to keep this on the down low. It's not going to be so down low unless I get an appointment somewhere. I do believe I should be ambassador to either Australia, Sweden, or England.
And I think you're asking all the wrong questions, man. Like, how long is this going to take? Will it be over quickly?
Will it be over quickly?
Does this man have the stamina of a sprinter, or is he a marathon runner? Like, I don't want to be down there all day.
Have you seen the benefits package for a diplomat from my country?
Oh, yeah, you'll never have to give another BJ ever. You'll be getting them then.
Oh, yeah, at that point, because I get to pick staff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the difference between, like, the ambassador, or am I going to be down there for, like, 35 minutes? Is it a hot day? Did he go for a run previously? Have you had a shower? There are a lot of questions before I just get down there.
Was he parading around in a Batman costume?
We'll discuss a little bit of this, because I want to know whether I'm going for a cabinet position or an ambassadorship.
I mean, I'm thinking we're going to have to get a team in here, sit down, your people, my people, will hammer this out, so get the contract signed, the official fucking photo of Dick.
I still like to think that my word and a handshake's good enough.
Oh, it's never good. Dude, it's never good enough if you've agreed to give a BJ for profit.
If he's run a marathon, you know, after a basketball game or something like that, it's got to be a cabinet-level position.
I don't know if to come over there and give you a slap across the face with my backhand, you know? Like, always get the money up front, bitch.
I don't know. He can give me the appointment before you know I suck his dick, but there's going to be a price for this. I will admit, I am a whore. The only thing is how much.
Because so
$1 billion, I'll commit a homosexual act.
Why wouldn't you just go over to the dishwasher, get the robot out, and say, here, what can I get for this?
Well, because then you run the risk of, like, being on the show Porn Stars. Well, you know, I think it's worth $3,500, but I can only get $10.
I mean, it is a used robot cooch.
Yeah, I was expecting $3,500. I got $10. I'm happy. You know, I walked away. I made $10. You know,
all right, two things for Digital Dojo tonight. The first is a nice write-up on from steinzero.ghost.io on Google Dorking and robots.txt. So if you're into digging around on other people's websites and finding shit that's public that they don't expect to be public, they actually tell you how to go about finding something, you know, interesting searches to use in URLs, get footholds, some mutations to use, things to look at in the robots.txt, things is like where they're not expecting it to go. And it's just a nice write-up if you're, just getting into Google Dorking or have been doing it and just looking for some ideas. So I especially like the idea of looking for like file type PDF Cisco group PWD, looking for like certain application field names, because that's a good idea.
So you can never read too much either.
Oh yeah, so And yeah, he's got some nice ideas here on things to look at and places to start. So, and then secondly, the last thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is a much, in my opinion, better way to deal with Tor than the Tor bundle or Tails. I've been playing around with Hunix lately, and for anybody who hasn't been playing with it, Hunix is a set of virtual machines. It's a Linux distro. It is intended to be used as an installed Linux distro. It's also intended to be used in virtual machines. So the first virtual machine is your gateway. It sets up a internal virtual network. In other words, it's a Ethernet subnet that's only accessible to your virtual machines, and only if you set the NICs to that virtual network. And then it has another one that's a regular virtual virtual NIC so that it can get on the internet. And that one runs your Tor gateway. That one is your router. And then your second one is your Hunix workstation, which is mostly just a bog-standard KDE desktop with some security tightening on it, although you can do more when it comes up. For example, changing the fucking passwords. That seems like a good idea.
What, password? Password isn't good? I thought secure.
It's user change me. So it's like, change the damn... Because I can just see somebody setting this up thinking they're good to go and missing that little gem of forgetting to change the damn passwords on the box. You know what I mean?
I do like user change me as a password.
But, the login is user. The password is change me. So you should change it, because I just announced what the default password to Hunix is. Never mind the fact that it's on their website all over the place. And they have a really good write-up of how to use the thing on their website. It's like, okay, here's how to use this. Here's what it does. Here's what it doesn't do. Don't log into your Facebook account and expect to still be anonymous. So they've got seriously. No, it's actually got some really good information on there of just how to be anonymous on the internet, whether you use their system or not. So it's worth reading their website, even if you're not going to play with it. So, now that said...
Can't prove that I logged into my Facebook account. That could be anybody logged into my Facebook account.
Yeah, I published my password on Facebook, so, you know. God. Anyways. So, meanwhile, back at the point... the workstation virtual machine can only access the internet through the gateway machine. So the common attack against Tor is you get a piece of malware on somebody's machine so that it beacons out across the clearnet. Because what most idiots tend to do is they just download the Tor browser bundle and run it, which is an old version of Firefox. Well, older. They try to keep it up to date, but you know it's usually not the current version of Firefox. And you know it's connecting straight up to Tor, and then if you can induce that browser to do something outside of Tor, or just get the browser to run some script, you know, just do a classic PDF dump or something like that, you can get the browser to beacon out on the clearnet, and then you can identify the user. This is how they were catching people who on like Silk Road and the pedophile ring. So, Hunix is a tool for exploring Tor a little bit better than say like Tails. Tails is nice in that it doesn't keep any records, so you can boot it up, get on Tor, do whatever, and then, you know, turn it off, and there's nothing, it doesn't save anything because it's all in RAM, and it even makes a point of, you know, writing garbage to the RAM as it's shutting down. But Hunix is a better long-term workstation, so if you're wanting to, you know, actually be able to, you know, have bookmarks and look around and use it more like a traditional machine rather than like this disposable environment, I honestly think it's a better system. So... that and the fact that Tails is still really running the Tor browser, browser bundle, so it, if you get malware on it, you could induce it to connect out across the clearnet just like any other machine running the Tor browser bundle. So now, to be fair, I've not played with the latest versions of Tails in a while, so maybe they fixed some of that, but at least the versions I played with, you could get on the clearnet with it. So with the Hunix workstation, that's much more difficult. And it works with command line tools, so, you know, doing any automated Google dorking with Python scripts that we're not going to talk about anymore. excuse me. So, anyways, that's all I've got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Of course, the radio site, the Twitter handle. Well, we haven't really done the Twitter handle in a while. The feedback form doesn't work. So, just use the subreddit. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us at this point. Or I don't know. BSV, how can people get a hold of us?
Moon carvings.
Ooh, that's a unique one. So, that's a good one. And Cycross is saying he's played with Tails more recently, and they've got some IP tables in there to try to keep you from getting on the clear net. Cool. I don't remember that, but like I said, it's been a while since I played with it. So, it's actually been years since I've played with Tails seriously, now that I think on it. So, anyways, that's all I got. So if you want to send us feedback, go carve it on the moon. You heard BSV. I don't know. Has anybody got anything they want to throw out before we shut down the show?
Another quick way to get Madman's attention is a giant lowercase T on his front lawn and set it on fire, and he'll know to get back to you.
Hey, Jim Bob, how many more of them crosses we got?
No, it's a lowercase T. It'd be a fucking racist.
Madman's not black.
What? Are you trying to impress me, motherfucker? Dude, I'm black if I want to be. I identify as a black attack helicopter. Have you ever seen an Apache that wasn't black?
I thought you were... Go back to loading the dishwasher.
How many sex robot pussies do you think I own?
I don't want to know.
Hey, I'm going to die out in the bush, and I'll be the last thing I'm fucking thinking about is sex robot pussies and how to fucking clean them. God damn it.
Emergency! 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 Oh, fuck.
So are you backpacking or car camping?
Not backpacking, dude.
Ouch.
Yeah. I can see it now, man. Like, the fucking rescue helicopter's coming. And then my last words is I'm fucking reaching out for it. Is don't put it in the dishwasher. Fall and collapse and die.
Clean it by hand. In the my sink. Funeral. Use lemon pledge. Only lemon pledge.
You guys be at the funeral there. Everybody's like fucking all somber and shit. And his last words were don't put it in the dishwasher. And you just lose your shit in the church. That'll be fucking great.
That or his last words will be...
No, sorry.
That's all I got.